The content shared on Your Life, Your Wealth Network reflects the views of the host and guests of the program only and are not necessarily the views of Cordasco Financial Network or its advisors. This media production is educational in nature and should not be construed as financial, legal, or tax advice or a solicitation or presentation of sale of any financial products or services. Please consult a professional prior to making any financial, tax, or legal decision.
Welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth Network, helping you find clarity and comfort for your life and wealth.
Hey, welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth show. I'm John Walker from Cordasco Financial Network. Today, we're going to be talking about something that really relevant this time of year as we're coming into fall, and shortly, believe it or not, the holidays will be approaching. And when you get into that time of Thanksgiving, the winter holidays, a topic that really comes up a lot in conversation with the folks we help and is really something that's kind of near and dear to the firm's heart is getting into charitable contributions. And so how do you support things that are important to you and manage through that with your wealth and being able to do something that is relevant and important to you and support a cause that's important to you, but also do it in an effective, efficient way. And so today we're going to look a little bit at the process and what should maybe drive your thoughts around how you do this, and then some of the real effective mechanisms to do it efficiently. And we have the privilege of welcoming to the show Dien Nguyen, who's the Assistant Professor of Philanthropy at the American College of Financial Services, been in the industry for many, many years in various roles at big firms and helping them guide through their philanthropic advisory services for families and for institutions. Her work has been featured in Forbes and the New York Times, and a real expert joining us today to talk about how we can approach charitable giving and how it can be relevant to you listening. Dien, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here, John.
And we're really privileged to have you, and I've been really looking forward to our conversation. I think it's really important. You know, one of the things that we often get questions about is, well, I really want to support something, but I don't really know where to start. I don't know what I should do. Should I support the Red Cross, or should I donate to my church, or should I do something on local level? Is it more important to do one of these big organizations? And I'm sure you've come across this a bunch in your career. One of the things that we encourage folks to do is to pick their passion, right? And so what are your thoughts on that? How do you help folks, or what would your suggestions be to the folks listening of how do they even just get started?
I just want to first off say that giving is actually a very noble act. Regardless of the amount or the motivation or the approach that you take, it is truly an act of generosity. And it can be an impulse that you can just show kindness you anywhere, anytime. Or maybe something a little bit more meaningful. So you could actually pick a charity and make the charitable gift so you could get the tax write-off immediately. But if it's something more meaningful to you and your family, that requires some thought. And what we call this is more like a giving journey. It could be actually quite transformative, rewarding, and even educational. So, you know, where do you start? I usually tell most of the folks we work with is, you know, to discover your giving passion, it could be a tragic, you know, social inequity that you see that you really want to try and solve. It could be just a desire to give back because somebody helped you along the way. So you truly try to zero in on what it is that you really care about. And maybe it's also this journey that you take, you don't have to do it alone. Maybe it's involving your family and your friends. You know, I'm really asking them, what is it, you know, what are they passionate about? And maybe it's a journey you could take together. So the other thing is, you know, when you think about whether it's domestic or international issues, you also may want to think about, well, do I want to make a smaller gift, and do I want to see it? Do I want to see the impact? Is this a place where I could go to? Is this a place where I could talk to the people? Would that help you decide on the amount you want to give or the organizations you want to support? So that's something you might also want to think about. The other thing is also to think about if you're giving as a family, think about empathy and how you actually share this with your children, or maybe it's your spouse and partner. So how do you also get them moving in this journey with you? In the wealth management world, we always talk about how do we involve the next generation, right? And the values, the passing of wealth. How do we ensure we bring up very responsible children? And philanthropy, actually, and charitable giving is a great segue into going on this longest journey, you can involve the next gen in helping make not just philanthropic decisions, but it's actually an opportunity, it's a teaching moment to talk about financial decisions too. So we see it in come up in many different forms, but you can use philanthropy basically as a creative impulse to talk about values. That your family, you know, is what's important to your family.
I'm catching so many important points here. I'm sure you've experienced this in your career, and so have we, and it's something that we've seen here at Cordasco Financial Network. Certainly, we have folks that have created charities, have created foundations that support causes they're passionate about, whether it's scholarship funds for our underprivileged children, whether it's supporting our veterans and some of their care when they return home, whether it's in various iterations, and we certainly do that and support some of those efforts as well. But it's, I think what is important that people should take away, or what I'm certainly hearing, is it's you have so many different options, and sometimes you need to narrow down a broad spectrum or decide that maybe your impact can hit lots of different things that are important to you. And I think one of the things that you said that really resonated with me is, do you want to see the impact firsthand of what you've chosen to do? So that may guide you to a different decision, right? You know, supporting a cause like the Red Cross, certainly will have an impact, but you may not see it on a day-to-day basis. Whereas if you choose something in your backyard or in your neighborhood, you may get to actually experience the impact of what you've chosen to do.
You can meet the students that receive the scholarship, right? So there's different ways to go about it. But also another thing to think about is, whether you decide to start your own private foundation or you use a charitable vehicle like the Donor Advice Fund, you also might want to think about, do you want to do this alone or do you want to do this with a group? Maybe there's already a group out there, whether it's a charity or whether it's like a donor network, that you may want to partner with first. You know, go learn from them. Go see what they're doing. See how they're doing it. And maybe certain tips that you can learn along the way. Maybe experimenting one or two projects, and granting along with them. And then you can step back and say, this is my plan. This is what I think I want to do. So, and the other thing is, don't do this alone. There are many advisors, like you, John, attorneys, CPAs, that are very well-versed in this area. And that can also help you along this journey.
Absolutely. And I think there's often sometimes a reticence. They have the purpose. They want to be able to give back, but they really don't know how to get started. And they're afraid that they're going to get, for lack of a better term, right, they're going to get burned, right? What if I give to this and it's not going to do what I wanted it to do? Or I don't know enough about this organization, the inner workings. I like the idea, but is my money really going to make an impact? And so you're right, having a guide along the way can really help in that process to make sure that your purpose is being fulfilled. And make no mistake, we typically give because it's fulfilling a purpose that we have. But it also is, we can't hide the fact that it's satisfying personally to see and feel the benefit of the impact that you've made, right? And it's not usually why people get into doing it, but there's a real emotional benefit, seeing the impact of what you've done. I'm not going to get into the psychology of why people give, but I think it's important to understand that once you've identified where you want to allocate your resources, what you can afford to do, there are some really important strategies to employ to make sure that you do it effectively. Once you've identified the right route for your assets, you can do things that will benefit you financially, but also make an impact to the cause that you chose to support, right? And so probably good for our listeners to get into some of the real financial bones of what really goes on here, right? And so, one of the things that we've heard a lot about is some of the changes in the new tax law have made it a little more challenging or have taken away some of the tax incentives for charitable giving. And I'm sure you're hearing about that too. But there still are some things that you can do to make this be effective for everybody involved. And so most folks think of cash, right? They take cash that they can afford to donate. And certainly, that old adage, cash is king, right? It certainly has its part to play, but it's not the only way you can give. So it might be helpful for our listeners to get into a little bit about some of the other strategies that you can do. One of the ones that we see quite frequently is, right, you can donate stock, right?
Yes, appreciated stock.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so let's get into that a little bit, right? If you donate appreciated stock, there's a benefit to you and there's a benefit to the organization that you've chosen to support.
Right. And you know, aside from the cash, all these other gifts just takes a little bit more planning, extra planning and a little bit, you know, thought. And Appreciate Stack is one of those ones where you actually want to go and work with, you know, your advisor to look at your overall portfolio and take a look at which stocks have appreciated over the years. And if it's appreciated stock, if you sell the stock and you donate the proceeds of the cash to charity, you actually have to pay the gain, right, on that appreciated stock. So that is okay, but that's not the best and most effective way to do this. So what you might want to do is actually, you know, give the stock itself to the charity, have the charity sell the stock, and then they can use the proceeds to benefit their programs. Now, the benefit, you know, to doing this is once you give the stock and the charity sells it, you actually get the full market value deduction of the asset you just donated. But also the tax opportunity is that the capital gains is not something that you have to pay. So you can actually avoid the capital gain on the appreciated stock.
So that could save you 10, 15, 18%, you know, long-term capital gains. So you're actually able to give, in your scenario, more, right?
Yes, much more. And a lot of these charities now are quite savvy. So they actually have an account and you can actually transfer, have, you know, your portfolio manager transfer the stock directly to the charity. It's very easy to do, and then they would just sell it, and they would tell you, you know, when they sold the stock, they would confirm it. It's actually very, very easy nowadays to do this. But especially if you've been holding on to the stock and it's appreciated so much over the years, it just makes sense instead of giving cash.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you want to keep the cash.
Yeah, you benefit from a tax perspective. It would be, certainly be a part of a good tax planning strategy, but the organization benefits as well, right? Because they're reaping the growth of your portfolio there, and they're getting a full contribution amount or even an appreciated contribution amount than what you may have been able to give in cash. So a net benefit all around. One of the other things that we've seen more recently, again, as a result of some of the recent tax law changes, is the idea of bunching, right? Because a lot of folks are coming up across the fact that because of the standard deduction and the inability to itemize in the charitable space, there are some things they can do, right? And you mentioned donor advisor funds. They're a strategy, you know, employed here as well. But maybe it really helped to explain the idea of bunching and how folks can leverage that to kind of be a little more efficient with their giving.
Yeah, so with the 2018 tax law changes, the standard deduction was increased. So a lot of individuals, donors, actually, they don't itemize anymore, so they really can't take advantage of that charitable tax deduction. But some, you know, they still want to support their favorite charities, right? They still want to really, you know, help the organizations that they're working with. So to take advantage of that charitable deduction, what you could do is actually you bunch your gifts in 1 year. And this, it's a very smart tax saving strategy. This bunching allows you to group together your deductions into a single year, and then you could surpass that itemization threshold. And then the next year, or the off year, skip years, then you can just take the standardized deduction. So, you know, depending on the gift amount that you would like to make, it could be on year where you take the bunch, you do the bunching, then you skip the next year, and then so on and so forth. But it's a great way to take the standard deduction, but also have the opportunity to take the charitable deduction in the other years.
Right, absolutely, right. And it's something that, you know, it's really become more prevalent now that we've seen this tax law change, right? It wouldn't be a strategy we would have maybe previously employed.
Yes, and many charities are actually, you know, understanding the bunching concept. So what they're willing to actually do is work with you. So if it's a charitable project that, you know, they need funds for, they're willing to work with you to determine the years when you are in the process of bunching and then when you can make the gift. So you know, have a conversation with the charity that you're supporting. I think they're more than willing to, you know, work with you through some of these issues.
Absolutely. That's great to know, right? So, you know, there's lots of resources available, and it's not just from your advisor or from, you know, the person you trust, the organization itself may be able to guide you through some of these ideas. One of the things that many of our listeners have heard us talk about before, and it's certainly a strategy that we use with our folks that are already at retirement age and are taking required minimum distributions, one of the things that we've certainly seen and encouraged and helped a lot of the folks we work with take advantage of is using the RMD as a mechanism for a charitable contribution. There's some tremendous potential tax benefits to doing that. I'm certain that you could give us a little more color on that and explain a little more deeply how that works, but it's one of those rare moments where you're satisfying a requirement that you need to do, but you're actually getting potentially a huge tax savings.
Yes, and it works really well for a lot of the folks that are 70 and a half older. Because the IRS requires us to take the RMD, right, the required minimum distribution each year from your tax-deferred retirement accounts. But the problem is a lot of times this is a taxable income, and it might push the individual into a higher tax bracket, and it might also even reduce your eligibility for certain tax credits and deductions. So if you do not need the income, one way to actually eliminate or reduce the impact of the RMD income is to make a gift to a qualified charitable distribution. Most nonprofits, 501c3 charities qualify under the QCD or the Qualified Charitable Distribution Requirement. So what happens is, you know, you ask your IRA custodian, please, you know, make a payment to this designated charity. And then so it never comes into your account and it's not your income. And so you don't have to pay the taxes on that.
Right. What we find is folks are reaching out to us and saying, hey, or we're explaining to them how this works, and they're giving us the organization that they'd like to do. We make sure that it's an organization that qualifies for this. And then us as the advisor are directly doing this QCD. There's some paperwork that they need to do, right? And we're making the contribution on their behalf. And I think it's important you're pointing out they're not counted towards your income, your taxable income for the year.
Yes. So you do it does two things, right? You satisfy your RMD for the year, and then it's excluded from your taxable income. And the charity benefits. So, you know, it's a win-win, I think, for everybody.
Absolutely. I want to circle back to something a term we've mentioned a lot, and I'm not sure that everybody knows about them, and I think it's important that maybe we spend a little time discussing them, is the idea of donor advisor funds. There are investment vehicles that are specifically designed to help folks with their charitable giving. Can you help the folks who are listening understand a little bit more about what they are, how they work, you know, how they can be leveraged to help when you're trying to figure out how to gift?
Sure. So a donor advised fund or a DAF is basically what we call a charitable checking account. So you, the donor, would make a charitable contribution. You would work with a 501c3 kind of sponsored organization. So you make the gift to that organization. You take an immediate tax deduction for the amount you contributed. And then the money basically sits there in the donor advice fund. You can actually name it. You could choose the name. It could be, you know, John Smith Donor Advice Fund, XYZ Donor Advice Fund. You can actually name it. And then over time, you could decide which organizations that you would like to make direct the gifts to. So what happens is you advise the sponsoring organization to make a gift to a certain charity. And this is good when you have a huge maybe tax issue this year, but you don't have time to think about which organizations you want to support. So you park the money in the donor advised fund, and then you can take your time figuring out which organizations and maybe which projects and, you know, where and when to support. So it buys you a little bit of a time. But, you know, another way to think about a donor advised fund is, maybe you're interested in a private foundation, but you're not interested in all the administrative work and all the tax filings that a private foundation comes along with that. So you might want to think about a donor advised fund instead. You know, many things that you could do in a private foundation, you can also do in a donor advised fund. And then the funds are actually invested, so there is opportunity for growth there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really unique solution for that problem you said. Like, I want to do this, but I don't know exactly how to do it. It kind of, you know, your point, it gives you time and it gives you control, right? And so it allows you to do some of the things that a foundation does without all of the other minutiae that comes with that. And so it's a really nice solution for some folks who have a purpose and an intent, but don't really have don't have the rest of it thought out yet.
Yes, and also the interesting about a lot of these donor advice funds is being able to accept what we call complex assets, right? So if it's an appreciated stack, you could probably work directly with the charity. Or you could gift the appreciated stack inside a donor advice fund and then gift that over time. But some of these donor advice funds sponsors can also accept business, partnerships, and even real estate. So, you know, not everybody is holding on to cash or appreciated stock. They might also be holding on to very complex assets that they're thinking about gifting, or maybe it's a tax opportunity, but they don't exactly know how to do it. So donor advice funds are another opportunity to think about, you know, besides cash or stock, what about complex assets? What about my vacation home? If I don't need to use that anymore, can I give that to charity? And then can they use the proceeds? So lots of opportunities out there, and that's why I definitely encourage, you know, individuals who are thinking about this to contact their advisors to talk it through.
So Deanne, one of the other things that we have an opportunity to help folks and guide folks through, and it's certainly something we do when we're constructing portfolios, you know, in our business, we often ask folks, like, is there anything you're really passionate or against that we don't want to invest in, right? You know, maybe I don't support smoking and I don't want to own Philip Morris, right? That's one of the ones, or, you know, the vice stocks or whatever, right? So, you know, guns or, you know, whatever. There's lots of things that people are very passionate against, but equally important is there are things that, you know, when we think about giving and supporting things that we're passionate about, you can use your investment portfolio to do that as well, right?
Yes, yes. And this is actually a great, you know, way to think about this, especially at year end when you're talking to your advisor about your portfolio is, you know, if you're thinking about supporting women and girls, right, and you're supporting girls and with scholarships to go to universities, can you look at your portfolio and say, are the companies that you're picking and choosing, are they also supporting women and girls' leadership? So you can actually work with your advisor to make sure not only are your philanthropic investments are aligned, but also your portfolio alignment. Does that align with your values?
Right. So if you're really passionate about green energy and solar, do you support those within your portfolio? Or to your point, you know, can you pick an organization or a company that supports the same causes that you support?
Yes, and the shared values is very important because then, you know, you're making sure that your philanthropic gifts are also aligned with all your investments. And then this is another great way to bring in the next generation because many of them are very social conscious, and you can get them involved, especially in these family gatherings and conversations about looking at, you know, cause, impact, and what does our family stand for?
That's great. And so, you know, I'd be remiss before we let you go to not pick your brain a little bit about, you know, you operate in this space. You know, we help folks the best we can and guide them through this and certainly do. But, you know, we have the opportunity to ask you, what are the things that people aren't maybe, you know, hearing about, knowing about, but are the sort of emerging trends in philanthropy and in this charitable giving space that might be important for our folks to hear about?
Well, I think online giving is continuing to grow, and many individuals prefer to give this way because it's quite easy, especially year-end. But something to think about is what's happening this year. On December 3rd, it's a Giving Tuesday. So Giving Tuesday has been around since about 2012, but the idea is how do we encourage millions around the world to pick a day to show their generosity, make a gift to any of the charities that they wish. And then how do we continue, you know, showcasing that generosity? So, you know, last year, what's interesting is if you are going to make a gift to a charity, you might want to think about doing it during Giving Tuesday. Timing the gift is important because you could take advantage of companies like Facebook and PayPal who are offering matching opportunities. So you give on Giving Tuesday, Facebook and PayPal will match your gift. So if you give $100, they'll match another $100, and that goes to the charity that you designate. So it's the opportunity to basically increase your impact.
To make a much greater impact.
Yes. So look out, if you're making donations during this season of giving, look for matching gift opportunities to double your impact.
And I think there's one other point that we'd be remiss, and I know we talked about, which is the giving is not always just monetary, right? And we talked in the beginning about picking your passion, finding your journey, and there's an opportunity a lot of times to give back with time and with energy and with experience and knowledge. And so for everybody who's listening who's thinking, I'd really like to do this, it's not just your assets that you can gift. It's your life experience and your time and your energy that you can pass along as well.
Yeah, so giving is, when we define giving, it's not just about financial contribution. It's giving of your time, talent, and your treasure, right? So many people actually take this time of year to think about volunteering and giving back to the communities. Volunteering is generally a social event. So it's a great way to bring your family, your friends, your colleagues, you volunteer together, whether it's at the soup kitchen or whether, it's cleaning a school. But it's also a great way to show and teach empathy to the next generation, right? You could bring the children along with you at a lot of these volunteer sites. So, and you can even make it a tradition. So I've known some families that do this every single year. It's a great bonding experience, but it's a great way to give back and give back together to the community, show that you care.
I think that's just the perfect way to end this. I think that we're so grateful for having you on the show to share your thoughts on this around a topic that we're passionate about, that I know our listeners are passionate about, and very appreciative of your experience. Jen, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you. Great to be here.
As Thanksgiving and the holiday season approach, and we're thinking maybe a little more about how we can make an impact and what we can do to give back, let's take some lessons from what we learned today. Choose something that you're really passionate about. Decide whether you want to see the impact that you can make or support an organization that maybe has a broader reach. And most importantly, think about who can help you along on this giving journey. Folks like us that can talk to you about the efficient strategies to make sure that what you actually want to have happen is happening with your money. So if what we talked about today maybe made you think of some questions, maybe it made you think, I could probably use some help figuring out the best way to do this, reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. Shoot us an email at asksteve@cfnplan.com. That's asksteve@cfnplan.com. Or call us at 215-558-3500. Our team has a ton of experience helping folks through this process and making sure that their purpose is fulfilled when it comes to their charitable giving. Thanks for listening to the Your Life, Your Wealth show. I'm John Walker. Have a great week.
If you're interested in learning more about applying the principles we discussed to your personal financial circumstances, please visit Cordasco Financial Network at cfnplan.com or call our office at 215-558-3500. We hope you'll join us again next time on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network.